Even just reading your spam metrics is different. Instead of hitting unsubscribe, this audience internally terms marketing messages as spam and will mark a perfectly valid, legal, non-spam email that they consented to as spam. Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran, and in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Nikki Elvas, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-and play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go. First, a quick recap of the email we discussed last week that we'll be digging into today. Nikki, I'm really excited to welcome you to Doodle Premium Pro. I used to dread getting emails with a bunch of re's in the subject line. Meetings are bad enough. We schedule too many, invite too many cooks, squeeze in too many agendas, or worse, don't set an agenda. But scheduling a simple meeting is even worse. Endless rounds of emails that stuff our inboxes, distract us from our jobs, confuse meeting guests, or worse, annoy meeting guests. Unless you schedule your meetings with Doodle Pro. With Doodle Pro, in a couple of clicks, you can instantly share availability, find the best time to meet, and send reminders, or not, your call. Ready to get back hours in your day and earn your coworkers' applause? Sync your calendar and set up your next meeting in less than 2 minutes. Sync my calendar fast. Here's to never sorting through a million emails. Gabrielle, CEO.
All right, let's start with a topic that I find really interesting, and that is marketing to non-marketers. I feel like a lot of what we learn as marketers, a lot of the best practices that we read, a lot of the methods we're taught, even, no shame, some of the things we discuss here on Email Swipes, they apply to this little marketing bubble of people who have a lot of familiarity in the digital space. For sure in SaaS, and even in e-commerce, we tend to address the segment of the population that spends time in funnels, is familiar with a lot of different marketing messages across different platforms, etc. And this usually works fine. It is where a lot of our audience tends to live. But sometimes we're working with an audience that is just unfamiliar with all this stuff. And when that happens, the rules are different. Even just reading your spam metrics is different. Instead of hitting unsubscribe, this audience internally terms marketing messages as spam and will mark a perfectly valid, legal, non-spam email that they consented to as spam. It's just the reality. And obviously, the strategy needs to be different too. It kind of reminds me of what Nick Gaudio referenced in episode 9 when he taught us about the benign violation theory. If you haven't heard that episode yet, it was brilliant and the link is in the show notes. But anyway, in order to benignly violate a belief that your audience has, they have to have that belief. The Rev email poked fun at the overdone marketing practice of sending holiday emails. If your audience doesn't receive holiday emails, or enough of them to realize they're cliche, your joke is going to fall flat. They need to have the reference point to understand where you're veering off. In my case of using re in the subject line, the marketers in the room were rubbed wrong by all the fake re's they get for cold emails. And the non-marketing savvy audience just didn't get that I wasn't seriously asking them to meet the CEO on Monday. They didn't receive enough marketing emails to understand that it wasn't an actual one-to-one email. So as much as we hate on best practices sometimes, because they truly do get stale and ignorable, they can be useful. And that brings me to takeaway number one, which is to know your audience and tailor your strategy to the reality. And by the way, your audience is not just your email subscribers. Your audience is also your client or coworkers. Like I said, the marketers in the room were irked by this email also. It wasn't just the subscriber base. And ultimately, that's why we had to change the email. Because of the internal team, not because of the subscribers. Your first sell is your superior's approval. This can be difficult because the two audiences are different. Your client slash coworker slash boss may have likes and preferences and beliefs that may be totally different than the likes and preferences and beliefs of your subscriber base. This is where research comes in and is so useful in being able to point to why you made the decisions that you did. But even still, sometimes some things are so ingrained that all the logic in the world won't help. So takeaway number two, always remember that your first sell is the internal team, not just the subscribers. Have your research, proof points, and decision backers ready. On a similar note to all this negative feedback talk, many Doodle users complained about getting too many emails. Again, they weren't used to getting an onboarding series that spanned a week or two, and definitely not anything longer than that. So, should we have listened to the customers and cut back on the number of emails? I'd say no, especially given the success of the overall onboarding. Maybe I do a little expectation in the beginning emails, letting them know that we'd be showing up often, but lower the frequency? No way.
We're about to take an ad break, but I'm not just going to give you an ad that wants to sell you something. I'm going to give you an ad that, yes, will hopefully sell you something, but will also educate you on something email related. So don't go anywhere. If you want to start your own email list, I have an offer for you. Sign up to ConvertKit using the affiliate link you'll find in the show notes, and I'll give you a 30-minute consult free. Now, free consults are nice and all, but they're not exactly a reason to tie yourself to an email platform you're not in love with. So let me tell you why I think you should use ConvertKit to build your email list. ConvertKit calls themselves the only marketing platform built for creators by creators, and it's not just a cute slogan. They actually live up to this. There are countless examples of how they serve our particular niche better than anyone else, and it makes all the difference. Let me just give you one. Google just announced some new anti-spam sending requirements that threw the email world into a tizzy. And one of the recommendations to keep our emails out of spam was to verify your email sending domain. Sounds techie? Yeah, it was. It was another techie admin task that was really annoying to deal with. Most email platforms slapped up some help docs and called it a day. ConvertKit partnered with a software that did the job in the ConvertKit dashboard in a few clicks. It was so helpful and it was so proactive. They know we don't have IT teams. They know we have too many tasks on our plate. They know that tech can feel really overwhelming for a solopreneur. So they figured out a solution. That's just one tiny example. I could go on, but we've got to get back to our show. Meanwhile, if you're interested, head down to the show notes, check out the affiliate link, and earn yourself a free consult.
See, because as much as the customer is always right, we humans are funny. There are so many studies in which the subjects say that they don't like something, but they do actually act based on that disliked thing anyway. Shout out to Hannah Shamshi for giving me a name for this cognitive bias. It's called the say-do gap. Pop-ups are a great example of this. Everyone hates them, but they work really well. Another example, when people were asked whether they liked pretty designed HTML emails better or plain text emails better, majority said HTML, but then they actually reacted more favorably to the plain text emails. So takeaway number three is that we may be best serving our customers, even if they think we're doing things wrong. Onboarding emails are frequent, but they're also incredibly helpful for subscribers. These emails were truly guiding users to best take advantage of the platform. We saw that from the conversions. Did we also annoy some customers? Sure, but the benefits we were providing to the majority outweighed that downside. But like Rand Fishkin mentioned in episode 30, it works to just charge people monthly and not send billing reminders. The question is, just because something works, should we be doing it? Essentially, we need to take a few steps back and dig into our values as a company. Each brand needs to think about where their lines are and what kind of customer experience they want to provide. This is way more important and longer lasting brand messaging than color palettes or font families. And all of this, all these takeaways, all lead to the same place of knowing how you want to show up for your customers, knowing what your business goals are at both a financial level and an ethical level. If you have that in place before you perform an email experiment, you can keep your calm even as you get negative feedback. You have an internal compass to know whether the feedback is relevant or not. I mean, just using the couple dozen brands we've featured so far in email swipes, they've all received their share of irrelevant feedback. Drizzly got plenty of hate mail. SparkToro gets asked for SOC 2 compliance all the time. Podmatch gets insults. And yet each brand is a strong brand, serving a base of customers that is absolutely in love with them. Well, okay, not Drizzly anymore, but everyone is devastated about that. They know what to tune out and when, because they know what's important, they know how they want to show up, and that's a critical first step to any email strategy. So takeaway number four, know your lines. What matters to you as a brand? What matters to you for your customers? Wow, this was so interesting. For an email that did so phenomenally well in a conversion sense, we sure did talk a lot about what wasn't right about it. Just goes to show that we can always be iterating and improving.
Thanks for geeking out with me about that email story. If you enjoyed either of these episodes, you'll probably enjoy getting my emails. Plus, you'll never miss another episode. Sign up at nikkialbus.com/subscribe. And yes, that link is in the show notes.
Email Swipes is going on break for a few months. If you're new to the show, go binge all the previous episodes. And if you've been here since the beginning, go ahead and take all these practices you've been learning and write some amazing emails. Can't wait to geek out with you again in 2025 when we come back for season 3.